The World and Everything in It is brought to you by listeners like me. My name is Grace Hrachek, and I'm a senior dance major at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. I listen to The World podcast every morning as I get ready for ballet class. On this Thanksgiving, I'm thankful for my family and friends, the freedom to openly practice my faith, and of course, God's love and mercy. As it says in 1 Chronicles 16:34, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, where his steadfast love endures forever." I hope you enjoy today's program and have a blessed Thanksgiving.
Good morning. Today we head back to the southern border. This time we'll meet a ministry to vulnerable asylum seekers.
They are in here because they have passed through a lot of fraud, a lot of price gouging, a lot of different unfair things.
Also today, help for those wrestling with last-minute turkey prep. We'll chat with someone from the Butterball Talk Line. Plus, Thanksgiving reflections from a few of our reporters and staff.
People talk about the joy of motherhood, but that doesn't really begin to cover it.
And Cal Thomas on Scrabble words and Thanksgiving.
It's Thursday, November 24th. This is The World and Everything in It from listener-supported World Radio. I'm Myrna Brown.
And I'm Paul Butler. Good morning.
Up next, Kent Covington with today's news.
An airstrike on a maternity hospital in Zaporizhia, Ukraine, killed a newborn baby early Wednesday morning. Emergency services spokeswoman Yulia Bereshiva said the mother was removed from the rubble of the second floor with the help of a ladder, but her newborn son was killed. Hours later, the European Parliament voted to designate Russia a state sponsor of terrorism after repeated attacks on civilian targets and infrastructure in Ukraine.
Vote is closed, and it is broadly adopted. Congratulations.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky celebrated Wednesday's vote. In a video address, Zelensky thanked European lawmakers, and he added that Russia promptly proved that declaration to be accurate by, quote, launching 67 missiles at our infrastructure, at our energy sector, at ordinary people. Moscow's attacks have plunged Ukraine into darkness. Most Ukrainians were without power or heat Wednesday. Authorities had to take three nuclear power plants offline after Russian strikes cut them off from the power grid. The United States has announced that it's sending an additional $400 million in aid, including generators, to help restore power. The United States on Wednesday also imposed sanctions against three more Iranian security officials. That is in response to the continued violent crackdown on protesters. Demonstrators took to the streets more than 2 months ago after a 22-year-old Kurdish woman died in police custody. The so-called morality police arrested her for violating the country's strict Islamic dress code. The number of Americans applying for unemployment benefits rose to the highest level in several months. World's Kristen Flavin has more.
The Labor Department reported Wednesday that 240,000 people applied for jobless aid last week. That was up 17,000 from the week before, and it's the sharpest increase since August. The four-week moving average of claims, which smooths out week-to-week volatility, rose 2.5%. But unemployment remains low by historical standards. Reporting for World, I'm Kristen Flavin.
This is an extremely difficult Thanksgiving day for several families in Virginia after a workplace shooting that killed six people at a Walmart.
I looked up and my manager turned around and he just opened fire on everybody in the break room. And it is by the grace of God that a bullet missed me.
The shooter also wounded at least six people, one critically. He apparently then shot and killed himself. There was no clear motive for the shooting. Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin told reporters,
"Today our job is to support families who are facing the unthinkable today. Families who have lost a loved one or have a loved one who is injured."
The gunman was identified as 31-year-old Andre Bing, an overnight team leader who had worked for Walmart since 2010. The Georgia Supreme Court has reinstated pro-life protections in the state. World's Josh Schumacher has more.
In a one-page order, the justices paused a lower court ruling overturning the state's heartbeat law, which protects unborn babies as soon as they have a detectable heartbeat. The top court ordered facilities that had resumed abortions past 6 weeks to stop immediately. But while the lower court's order is on hold, the Georgia Supreme Court will consider an appeal that argues the law violates the state's constitution. For World, I'm Josh Schumacher.
Many retailers are continuing a recent trend or reversal of a trend by remaining closed today. Around 2011, waves of major chain stores began launching Black Friday sales early on Thanksgiving Day. But recently, a growing number of chains have opted to let employees spend the holiday with their families. Among the stores not open today are Academy Sports, Best Buy, JCPenney, Kohl's, Target, Macy's, and Walmart, all of which will be open insanely early tomorrow morning. I'm Kent Covington. Happy Thanksgiving. Straight ahead, what we're thankful for, plus the Butterball talk line. This is The World and Everything in It.
It's Thursday, the 24th of November, 2022. We're glad to have you along for today's edition of The World and Everything in It. Good morning. I'm Paul Butler.
And I'm Myrna Brown. First up on The World and Everything in It, protecting the vulnerable. Well, last week, you heard about the toll the illegal immigration crisis is taking on ranchers and law enforcement around Eagle Pass, Texas. The nearly 500,000 people crossing the border there this year have dwarfed the city's population of 30,000.
Today, world correspondent Bonnie Pritchett brings us her final story about the human toll of illegal immigration, this time on the migrants and those who care for them.
A metal warehouse turned weigh station reverberates with voices, mostly speaking Spanish. It's a late Friday afternoon, and Mission Border Hope staff and volunteers are helping new arrivals. The immigrants are contacting family, buying bus or plane tickets, wiring money. At one end of the 8,000-square-foot room, a Texas National Guardsman hands out sandwiches to immigrants patiently waiting for the bus that will take them to New York City.
There is no bus station here in Eagle Pass. It's just a stop. It's twice a day.
That's Valeria Wheeler, director of Mission Border Hope in Eagle Pass. She's small in stature and 8 months pregnant, yet deftly maneuvers through the crowd. Each day, Immigration and Customs Enforcement transports about 800 people to the mission from a Border Patrol processing facility. The mission assists migrants on their journey north.
So when they arrive, they come here, they sit in here, and we have intake processors that receive them.
Within about 8 hours, most are on their way to other cities throughout the nation. Last fiscal year, U.S. immigration authorities arrested about 475,000 people crossing the border illegally into the Del Rio sector, where Eagle Pass is. U.S. authorities turned some away under a pandemic policy known as Title 42, but many of them got the chance to apply for asylum and were released into the United States with orders to appear before an immigration court. Since April, Mission Border Hope has processed 70,000 of those asylum seekers from around the world. The ministry used to help the 30,000 residents of Eagle Pass.
Well, we are a 501c3. What we used to do is to support the community, vulnerable population like children, elderly, people in families in poverty.
Then, in 2018, Border Patrol agents realized that scammers were victimizing newly released immigrants with promises of assistance. They asked the ministry for their help.
They need a lot of help in every way, you know, spiritual, psychological, economic. They've been through a lot of things. We don't provide economic support. We don't provide travel for them. Mm-hmm. We help them to communicate to their families, to help them make things easier for them so they can continue their journey.
Transportation company representatives stationed at the mission book travel beyond Eagle Pass.
They are in here because as they have passed through a lot of fraud, a lot of price gouging, a lot of a lot of different unfair things. So they charge them in here in front of us. And if they need to get money back or something, they have to. And we guarantee that they are getting the service.
Some bus rides are free, courtesy of the state of Texas, and there's a waiting list. One of those buses is going to New York. Venezuelans Ronald Aguilera and Carlos Araujo will be on it. Wheeler interpreted our conversation. Economic conditions forced Aguilera and his wife to leave Venezuela for Colombia. His government job paid $8 a month, enough to buy 2 pounds of rice and 2 pounds of flour.
He wants a better future for his family.
Araujo also came to the U.S. via Colombia. He was in the Venezuelan military, but left, fearing President Nicolas Maduro's persecution of his political rivals, including Araujo's family.
He wants to work and he wants to make money to so he can support his family, because they are farmers. His mom always tried to do our best to keep them food, and he has 11 siblings.
Araujo's story reminded Aguilera of his mother.
Something he wanted to share is that his mom passed away 4 days after he left, and he wasn't able to go to her service or anything, so that's something that was very hard for him.
Aguilera looks older than his 41 years. He's also 40 pounds thinner than when he began his two-month journey. He lost 12 of those pounds as he, Araujo, and their fellow travelers passed through the Darien Gap. It's a treacherous route through the mountainous rainforest between Colombia and Panama. That 8-day trek haunts them. Araujo describes what they saw.
It's corpse on the left and corpse on the right, because they just get too exhausted. The jungle, it's like, it's river, it's animals, it's so... It's deep, the mountains are so deep.
The mud,
it goes up to here.
Guides offered aid for a price. Those who couldn't pay got left behind. Migrants survived the jungle only to find themselves at the mercy of armed bandits in Mexico and Guatemala. That grieves Wheeler.
I feel very bad because a general comment is that worst of their trip was in Mexico. And I'm Mexican, so I feel horrible to hear that.
The daily logistics of getting each person beyond Eagle Pass consumes the ministry's 14 employees and 10 volunteers. They convey the gospel message through a weekly worship service and pastoral counseling for those who ask. And, more fundamentally, by treating each immigrant with the dignity worthy of an image-bearer of God. Wheeler understands Mission Border Hope is doing God's work for this time. She's humbled to witness his provision for the task. But she also longs to restore what's been lost in the wake of the bigger crisis.
So we want to help the community again. Because we're in pause. We are doing these, but Eagle Pass also, the residents need a lot of help too.
Reporting for World, I'm Bonnie Pritchett in Eagle Pass, Texas.
Coming up next on The World and Everything in It, Talking Turkey. Well, today, millions of home cooks are preparing the traditional turkey Thanksgiving meal. Now, if it's your first time or something unexpected pops up, turkey experts are standing by to talk you through it.
That's right. Bill Nolan is a supervisor at the Butterball Turkey Talk Line. He's a chef and loves to help people prepare memorable meals. He joins us now from Naperville, Illinois, with some last-minute tips and reminders. Good morning, Bill. I know that the Talk Line's been around for a while, but why don't you start by telling us just a little bit about the service?
Sure. The Butterball Turkey Talk Line is something that has been in existence. We're in our 41st year. Started out with six home economists, and they were answering phones, you know, with a Rolodex behind them, and that was it. Today, we have about 50 experts in turkey. It could be a very stressful thing, the holidays, right? I mean, people are entertaining. So we're here to provide comfort to folks. We're here to lower the anxiety level. And they take calls, they take texts, they take emails, they take chats. We've changed with the times. People, you know, they prefer texting, so we let them text us. So it's quite interesting. We're open from November 1st to December 24th.
I wonder how many cell phones end up in turkeys or turkey water.
Yeah, probably more than should.
Well, I know that you track all of the questions that come into the call line. What's the most common one?
The number one question is, how do I thaw my turkey? That has historically been our number one question across the board since inception.
I remember the very first Thanksgiving dinner that we hosted as a newly married couple. And we had the turkey, we had everything ready, but I was missing one thing. So I quickly ran to the grocery store. So this is Thursday, you know, about 9 a.m. And someone in front of me purchased a frozen turkey. If someone by this point hasn't thawed the turkey, is there any hope for them?
There is hope. Actually, a lot of people don't know this. You can actually cook a turkey from frozen. It takes about 1.5 to 2 times as long. It's going to be a little drier than regular turkey, but you can do it. You know, and at this point, if it's 9 o'clock in the morning, unless they want to eat later in the evening on Thursday, I would recommend they cook that turkey frozen. That would be the way to go and have a fairly decent result, save the day.
Like, how do you adjust the cooking conditions for a frozen turkey? Anything different?
Don't raise the temperature. We always recommend an oven temperature for a turkey at 325 degrees. You just want to monitor it. So I wouldn't even think about opening the door to check it for at least 3 hours. And then you can look through the window, see if it's starting to brown, but it's going to take some time.
And just to clarify, Bill, if you're preparing a frozen turkey, this is not the time to deep fat fry it, right?
Yeah, not a turkey to deep fat fry. You know, it's a recipe for disaster, no pun intended. I mean, it's, you know, deep fat frying is dangerous enough as it is. It is a great way to cook a turkey, but there are a lot of precautions you need to take into consideration, even if it's thawed.
Well, I'll tell you that the growing number of peanut oil pallets at my local Walmart demonstrate how popular this preparation technique has become. So, Bill, what do we need to know about frying a turkey?
The most common thing people do with the deep fat frying with the turkey is they overfill the pot with oil. You know, if you think about it, the amount of liquid that is displaced when you put something heavy into it is substantial. You know, it really will raise the level in there. So people will fill too much oil into the pot. Then they'll turn it and get it up to 350 or 400 degrees. And then they'll lower this turkey in. And, you know, pretty soon it's over the top. The second thing you need to do is always turn that burner off when you're lowering that turkey in.
Well, there are a lot of considerations when deep frying a turkey, and I think we can't really get into all of those here in this short segment. So let's just encourage people to reach out to the Butterball Talk line. Representatives are standing by to answer those questions if you have them. But Bill, let's turn our conversation here for just a moment. You've been at this a long time. What's the most memorable call that you've taken at the Butterball Talk line?
The most memorable to me was, I think it was my second year, and I was on the phones. It was the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, and a gentleman called up, and he needed to know how to cook a turkey from start to finish. He'd never done it before. I could tell he was an older gentleman, and we got to talking, and he proceeds to tell me that his wife had passed away in the past year, and she had always done Thanksgiving, and he wanted to make Thanksgiving for his family to show that he could do it in memory of her, you know. I mean, it was a tearjerker, right? And I'm like, well, I'll help you. You know, I wanted to go over and cook it for him, but I talked him through it, you know, and I said, this is what you need to do. And it was just a neat thing, you know, to be able to help somebody like that. It was a touching call, I thought.
So, Bill, why is this important to you? I mean, a well-prepared turkey is one thing, but it seems to me like there's something more that drives you to do this.
I've been a chef for about 25 years, but the reason I went to culinary school when I did was because I did a lot of cooking on my own and people really enjoyed my food. And I was in my 20s at the time, and I thought, this is really cool that you could make something for somebody that will help sustain them. And, you know, it's doing something for the ones you love. And so to me, that's why I got into instructional culinary arts, because I want to teach people to be able to do that for themselves and learn how to cook. And there's a great deal of satisfaction you get from it. And I don't know of anybody here. We have 53 people on staff of our experts. And I don't know anybody here that complains about working on Thanksgiving Day. In fact, we look forward to it. you know, it's a little bit of an adrenaline rush. You know, we're really getting busy and it gives you a little goosebumps. It's fun and we're helping people. And to me, that's what it's all about.
So if you've got a turkey question today, 50 experts like Bill are standing by ready to help. You can call them at 1-800-BUTTERBALL or visit them online and chat with a turkey expert. Also this year, Bill, I understand you have another way that people can get help if they have a smart speaker.
We're on Echo devices now. So if you have Alexa at home, all you have to do is enable the Butterball skill and you can say, Alexa, ask Butterball. So that's great if you have one of those in your kitchen and you don't have to worry about dropping that phone into the turkey, right?
I appreciate your time so much today. And thank you again for your help to so many people.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on. I enjoyed it.
Additional support comes from Dort University. See for yourself why Dort offers outstanding academic programs and a Christ-centered community. More at dort.edu/visit. From Let's Build a Manger, keeping Christ in front of Christmas through manger building kits for your family. More at letsbuildamanger.org. And from the Missions on Point podcast, only 15 minutes on Fridays, equipping and awakening vision for your church's role in world missions. Available wherever you get your podcasts.
Some world records are feats of strength or great skill. Others are, well, they're real chin scratchers. 2 weeks ago in Casper, Wyoming, a gaggle of men put their heads together, or rather their long beards together, in an attempt to break the Guinness World Record for the longest beard chain.
Okay, what?
A beard chain.
I am not picturing that. How do you make a beard chain?
All right. Picture this.
Okay.
72 men with beards 8 inches long or longer standing side by side in a large circle. You with me so far?
Yeah.
Okay. Then each beard is parted in half, think pigtails, but with whiskers. Then the two ends of each beard are temporarily clipped to the neighboring one. The chain more than doubled the old record. The final measurement was 150 feet long.
Okay. I get it now. I'm not sure that's a good thing. A lot of hairy guys, Paul.
They were all together for the National Beard and Mustache Competition. The event raised money for some good causes, homelessness and service dogs for veterans. So by all accounts, it was a successful fundraiser, and the beard chain was definitely the main attraction.
Thanks for the dad jokes.
It's the world and everything in it.
Today is Thursday, November 24th. Thank you for turning to World Radio to help start your day. Good morning. I'm Myrna Brown.
And I'm Paul Butler. Coming next in the world and everything in it, giving thanks. Maybe your family's like mine, with that old tradition around the Thanksgiving table where everyone says what they're grateful for from the year. So today we thought we'd pass the mic around our world family table. And Myrna, let's start with you. What are you thankful for this year?
Well, how much time do you have? Okay, I'll make it quick. I'm thankful for my prayer journals. Nothing fancy, just pen to paper. But in these prayer journals, I get to record what God is doing in my life, my family, my church, here at World. And then I get to rewind and reread what I prayed about over the year. And remember, as the psalmist says, how God has multiplied his wondrous thoughts and his deeds towards me. And sometimes I get to share these experiences with others. So here's an example, Paul. On Saturday, April 9th of this year, I text a friend and world colleague, and here's what I text. On April 8th, 2021, I wrote in my prayer journal a prayer for you and another colleague of ours. I prayed for y'all God's wisdom and guidance. 1 year to the date later, look at God and the leaders he has brought together. To God be the glory for all he has done. Mm-hmm. And of course, my friend was encouraged. And I get to rejoice over God's steadfast love, his goodness, his grace and mercy, and his countless promises, whatever the circumstances.
That's great. Myrna, that reminds me of what we're hoping to do during the last week of December on this program. In years past, we had people pray for the new year or offer a scripture passage for encouragement. But this year, we wanted to do something just a little different. It was inspired by Whitney Williams' recent commentaries on prayer. We want to hear from listeners how God has answered prayers this year. So be like Myrna, dig through those prayer journals, and testify to God's work in your life. Record those and email them to us at editor@world.org.
I look forward to hearing those testimonies, too. Mm-hmm. All right, Paul, what are you thankful for this year?
Well, last year, each of my three kids got married, and during that time, my wife frequently told that old joke, "Do you know what every mother-in-law wants to be called?" Grandma. Well,
yeah.
In her case, it's Gran, and I'm not sure I feel quite old enough for my title yet of Gramps, but I'm getting used to it, as this year we became grandparents. Mm. Proverbs 17:6 says, "Children's children are the crown of old men." And I'm looking forward to collecting those crowns. Mm, I'm grateful for the granddaughter that I can hold and the ones that I won't meet on this side of glory. So that's what I'm grateful for today. For this past year. Here are a few more reflections from our radio team, starting with daily host Mary Reichert.
Well, this is Mary Reichert, and you ask, what am I thankful for? Oh, I've got so many blessings, too many to count, but here are two. I'm thankful for fire and rain. Now, let me explain. I turned 60 this year. Last year, which according to executive editor Lynn Vincent, was when I was still a middle-aged 59-year-old, I hired a personal trainer. Big mistake. I'll make the long story short. Too much weight lifted too soon left me with four bulging discs. I'm not thankful for the injuries, obviously, but one happy consequence is that I have discovered the pain goes away while I'm in a hot bath in a room lit by candlelight. Ah, that's the fire and rain. See, candles and bath water. And it all comes from God, our Creator. John 1:3 says, "All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." So thanks be to God for fire and rain.
I'm Kim Henderson, and this Thanksgiving, when our family gathers, we'll be welcoming a new face at the table. She actually won't be at the table, I guess, but she'll be snuggled somewhere nearby. Baby Bethany, our newest grand darling. She arrived 9 weeks early back in July, and she's taught us all about life with preemies, the NICU, the anticipated weight gains, all the setbacks, and the fragility of life. She's big enough now to fit into our eager arms and into our grateful extended family, and we thank our great God for that this Thanksgiving.
Hi, I'm commentator Whitney Williams. Happy Thanksgiving. A few months back, a powerful storm swept through our neighborhood on trash day.
Heavy rain and then just like downpour rain.
Some say it was a straight line wind. Others suspected a tornado that didn't quite touch down. Huge ancient shade trees downed across driveways, gates ripped from their fencing, a horse loose. "There's croissants in the yard," one of my sons exclaimed. I didn't even know he knew that word. Crusty work-from-home neighbors, myself included, congregated in the midst of the mess, most of us meeting one another for the first time, though we've lived on the same street for years. One neighbor gave my sons popsicles for helping him clean up his yard. Another gave them a 20. Within a few hours, bearded, burly men armed with chainsaws came to the aid of widows and the elderly in their distress. My husband was one of these, pulled across town to a neighborhood much different than our own to help a person who lived and looked much differently than we. But that day, whichever side of the tracks you were on, physically, politically, racially, religionally, is that a word? It didn't matter. God used the storm to bring us together, to unite us as humans, as Texans, as Americans, as his children, created in his image for his good purposes. that day and today, I'm thankful for a God who, in the midst of the storm, dawns on those who fear him like the morning light, like the sun shining forth on a cloudless morning. Thankful for a God who never lets a good storm go to waste.
Hey, I'm Anna Johansson Brown. People talk about how hard it is being a parent. A lot of women seem to resent all the things that kids take away from them, all the things that they have to give up. And yeah, when I first found out that I was pregnant 2 months after getting married, I grieved the loss of my newlywed life. Then I held Beckett and heard his happy baby pterodactyl squawk thing that he does. Yeah, I have less time, less ability to focus. I can't leave the house without advanced planning and coordination. I can't do most in-person interviews anymore. But I also have so much more. Life is richer, fuller, more vibrant, has more dimensions, more colors, more elements on the periodic table. People talk about the joy of motherhood, but that doesn't really begin to cover it. Why does nobody talk about the fundamental soul change that happens? This deep well of joy and a kind of satisfaction I never knew existed until now. Maybe I just didn't believe them when they did. God gave us Beckett, and when he did, he added a new facet to the core of my being. As a mom, I am more of myself, not less. And because he is a gracious God, I also have more of his strength to face the many days when my own fails. So, I am grateful to the God of abundance, who is himself our Father.
I'm Jenny Ruff. Earlier this month, my husband and I arrived at Zion National Park. The golden leaves of the cottonwood trees looked spectacular against the red rock landscape. And as the sunlight moved across the cliffs, the rock color changed from red to pink to salmon to yellow to white. Bonus, Zion has a variety of hiking terrain, narrow canyons, natural tunnels, and even a trail along a ledge with a steep 1,500-foot drop-off on each side. I skipped that one. This season, I'm thankful for God's creation. Holidays can be crazy busy. Stepping outdoors for a hike gives us time to pray, to thank him, and to enjoy what he's made, like the rivers, rocks, and trees. My husband and I have an annual tradition: go for a hike the day after Thanksgiving. I hope you'll adopt that tradition too. I think you'll be thankful you did. On that note, I wish you a happy Thanksgiving and a happy Hikesgiving.
From all of us at World, happy Thanksgiving.
Today is Thursday, November 24th, 2022. Good morning. This is The World and Everything in It from listener-supported World Radio. I'm Paul Butler.
And I'm Myrna Brown. It's that time of year again when, after the big meal, many family and friends like to pull out a favorite board game. Commentator Cal Thomas now on the classic game of Scrabble. He says you don't need a triple word score to express true thanksgiving to God.
Merriam-Webster has announced it's adding 500 new words to its seventh edition of the official Scrabble Player's Dictionary. I doubt most people will ever use them in conversation or writing, but they will be beneficial when playing the board game. Meanwhile, the corruption of the English language continues. Words and their use, which are better known than these new Scrabble entries, continue to be misapplied. Misapplied. That's a great 10-letter word. While pronouns and nouns are increasingly used in the same sentence in violation of good grammar rules. And why do so many spell the contraction of you and are as y-o-u-r instead of y-o-u apostrophe r-e? English teachers take note. I digress, but only partially. Partially. Now, that's a 9-letter word. One definition of Thanksgiving is this: public celebration acknowledging divine favors. The word implies an object to whom thanks should be given. In our increasingly secular age, in which growing numbers of especially young people claim no belief in God or are indifferent to Him, to whom will they give thanks? The person who prepared the meal? What if the hosts ordered dinner from a store? I doubt those feasting on the repast would thank store employees. True, some churches will hold services on the day, and many will still pray and give thanks before violating whatever diet they're on or the advice of their doctors about cholesterol. Those who first came to America credited God for His blessed favor. Though many died from various causes in the early 17th century, those who survived expressed their gratitude to the one who brought them safely here and sustained them. So it was with William Bradford, the first governor of Massachusetts, who issued a proclamation on November 29, 1623. It read in part, "The Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, beans, squashes, and garden vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams, has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience." In the middle of the horrific Civil War, Abraham Lincoln found something for which to be thankful as he established Thanksgiving as an official national holiday. While noting that no foreign nation had taken advantage of America's division and that harvest continued to be plentiful, Lincoln wrote, "It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people." And so it was, and so it has been ever since. The word Thanksgiving is too long for the Scrabble letters on one's tray, but its synonym, gratitude, will fit. You might even land on a triple word score, but more than that, you'll be expressing something that seems an all too short supply today to the one who deserves our thanks and praise for the undeserved blessings He's bestowed on America. I'm Cal Thomas.
Tomorrow, John Stone Street returns with Culture Friday, and Colin Garbarino reviews a couple Thanksgiving weekend movies coming to theaters. Plus, your listener feedback and our Music of Advent series kicks off, so it's a full program. I'm sure you won't want to miss any of it. I'm Paul Butler.
And I'm Myrna Brown. The world and everything in it comes to you from World Radio. World's mission is biblically objective journalism that informs, educates, and inspires. The Bible says, "Thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Corinthians 15:57. Go now in grace and peace.